morning. That was a beautiful song. I've never heard that before. Just about brought tears. I have been encouraged already. Have you? This has already been a wonderful conference. And I've got to tell you, with all the opposition, something has to happen today, right? Something has to happen. So I hope you won't just sit back and enjoy it, but you'll open up your heart and ask the Lord with every session, what did I need to be here for? And make sure you get that. Don't leave without that. Now, when I came up, you probably noticed two things about me. One, I'm short. Two, I'm young. Right? Okay. Now, the short part is probably not going to benefit me at all today. I told Miss Wendy, I said, just make sure I have a pulpit that people can see me over, because that problem has come up before. But the young part is going to help me, and I'll tell you why, okay? Because if I say something that maybe doesn't sound quite right, or maybe you don't agree with, then you could just say, she's young, she'll learn. As she goes through life more, she'll learn, and I'll just get a free pass. But then if I say something that's really good, you'll say, what wisdom, and from one so young. And so it is gonna work out either way for me today. I really think so, really do. I'm from Long Beach, California. This is my first time in North Carolina. And I didn't know, yes, yes. Had never heard of Bojangles before. I didn't know there was such thing as nature, because we don't have that in Long Beach. And it's just been so nice. Actually, in Long Beach right now, it is thundering and lightning. And it has only rained one time since April. So what is the chance of that, right? It's interesting. We live probably 15 minutes from Disneyland. We live in LA County. And we live about 5 minutes down the road from a city that is the birthplace of rap music. And yes, and gang wars and all of these kind of things. So it's an interesting city. Marijuana is legal in California. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Probably a bad thing, right? Probably a bad thing. Okay. We'll sit in our house and we'll have the windows open, and the smell will just waft. And I'm telling you, I will come out in the living room and tell my husband, what have you been up to in here? Because it sounds like he was sitting right there smoking pot. And it smells like skunk. The smell of marijuana smells like skunk. So whenever we smell skunk, we're like, who is smoking marijuana, right? And one time we were driving up to Napa, which is Northern California, to visit my family. It was late at night. We're driving kind of in woodsy area, and we smelled it. And my husband said, who is smoking marijuana at 3 a.m. out in the woods? I said, honey, I think that's probably a real skunk. We've just been in Long Beach too long. We don't even know what a real skunk smells like. But our church is in an area where we probably get graffitied once a month. And we have a guy we got tagged again today, and he comes out and paints it and files a police report. We're kind of used to that, which is sad. We have security guards out in the parking lot during the services, because one time during church, someone came in our parking lot and stole the back seats of someone's van. Stole the back seats. Just last month, during a church afternoon service on a Sunday, someone crawled under a car and one of our church shuttles and sawed off the catalytic converters during church. One Sunday morning, our bus drivers went out to start the buses to go do our bus routes, and they wouldn't start. They looked under the hood, and the batteries were missing. The, you know, 200-300-pound batteries had been stolen out of our buses. This one is the kicker, though. We planted bushes out in front of our church. And one night, someone came and stole our bushes. So not to be outdone, we decided we're going to plant them again. They stole them again. And as if we're never going to learn our lesson, we planted them a third time. And they stole our bushes a third time. And so I think we're going to set up security cameras at our church. But my relatives sometimes will come out to Long Beach and they'll say, who would live in Long Beach, California? And I say, hello, we live here. But you know what? We're in the middle of God's will. And I've never been afraid. We heard gunshots outside of our service one Sunday night, and then someone banged on our auditorium door. because their friend was shot and he ended up dying right outside of our church building. My husband has gone in on Sunday mornings, and one morning he saw a trail of blood through our church building. I thought the trail of blood was like a book about martyrs, right? The trail of blood. But no, apparently it's about our church. And I guess someone had been stabbed. It's rough. It's rough. But that's where we are. And I've never felt afraid. I've never felt worried. Nothing. I'm happy there because that's where God has placed us. And that is the safest place you can be, is in God's will. If you have your Bibles, I wish you'd go with me to Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25. But we do have Disneyland, so we do have that going for us. Don't feel too sorry for me. I'm on first names with Mickey Mouse. Proverbs 25 and verse number 28. Proverbs 25, 28. We're just going to look at this one verse today. And it says this. He that hath no rule or no control over his own spirit, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. That sounds like a mess to me. A city that is broken down and without walls. Picture a biblical city. We know the cities back then would have giant walls around them. They were for safety. They were for their protection. But what would happen if the wall was gone? First, there'd be danger, right? There would be strife. There'd be a lot of fighting. There would be wars. There'd probably be confusion, a lot of insecurity in that city. The image here in this verse is a loss of control. That's the thought. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. We'll have a loss of control. And when we don't control our spirits, which is what we're talking about today, when we don't control our spirits, the result is the same. There's insecurity. There's a lot of contention. There is a loss of control. Psalm 26:2 says, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." David's asking God, "Please, God, put me to the test and see what I am made of." I like to study my Bible. And the word there in that verse, reins, it's not the same as a horse where you're holding the reins. That's not the same thing. The word there is the word kidney. So when it says, try my reins, it is saying, try my kidneys. That doesn't really make sense, does it? But back then, today in today's vernacular, we would say my heart. Back then, they would use the word kidney or even the word bowels, because it's talking about the seat of my emotions, my innermost parts. Try my innermost parts. So David was saying, try my kidneys, Lord, try my bowels. No, he was saying, try my heart. What am I made of deep inside? So next time you go to Hobby Lobby or something and see the sign, follow your heart, maybe just erase that and put follow your kidneys or follow your bowels. It doesn't sound as sweet, doesn't sound as romantic, right? But it is biblical. But it's meaning, Lord, I am sensitive to your leading. Do we have any dog lovers in here? You a dog lover? Okay. Good, you can put your hands down. I don't want to say who's a cat lover because I know you're going to be too ashamed to raise your hands, so I'm not going to ask that. But we got some dog lovers in here, I'm sure, right? Put your hands down. Well, you know, if you're walking your dog on a leash, if it's a well-trained dog, if it pulls a little bit, you're going to pull back. Nope, you stay. And it should respond, right? But if your dog pulls the leash out of your hand and runs down the street, do you just give up and say, well, I guess he's just going to be running around town today? No. You go get that dog back on his leash, and you teach him who's boss. And you teach him that you are in control. Sometimes, though, we let our spirits get a little out of control, and instead of reining it back in, we just say, well, today's blown. I guess my spirit's just going to run wild today. It's just going to be out of control all day. We wake up grumpy. Well, I guess it's going to be an entirely grumpy, stressful day because there's no going back. And that's what we do. One little thing gets us off track, and it just ruins our day. We can't seem to get it back under control again. Well, I have up here an ice cream cone. It's a drippy ice cream cone. And I want to tell you a story because the title of this lesson is called Drippy Ice Cream Days. drippy ice cream days. So I took two of my three children out to a field trip. We went to the LA County Fair. And on the way back, we said, we're going to swing by McDonald's and we're going to get an ice cream cone. Because some of McDonald's food is nasty, but they're ice cream cones, right? They're vanilla ice cream cones. You just, they're the best. So we went in there, and one of my son got a shake, and my daughter got an ice cream cone, and she got that, and I ordered an ice cream cone, too. I wanted an ice cream cone so I could lick it while I'm driving. You know, I am that talented. I can drive through LA traffic and lick an ice cream cone. I can do it. But I couldn't have something with a spoon, right? And so I got my daughter's ice cream cone, got my son's shake, and then the lady gives me my ice cream cone. But instead of handing me an ice cream cone, she had taken my ice cream cone and she had flipped it upside down into a cup. And she had handed me the cup and she said, oh, our ice cream's a little drippy today. And I said, well, I ordered an ice cream cone because I can't eat with a spoon while I drive. And she said, oh, okay. And so then she goes to the register and she says, let's give this lady her refund. And I said, no, I don't want a refund. I want an ice cream cone. And I did sound that pathetic. I really did. And she said, well, is this okay? And it was just ice cream dripping down the cup. And I said, no, it's really not okay. I really do want an ice cream cone. And I wasn't going to, you know, pitch a fit about it, but it was just upsetting me. I want an ice cream cone. I paid 74 cents, and I deserve to get an ice cream cone, right? And I said, fine, don't even worry about it. So I took my drippy ice cream cone back to the car, and I sat there just eating it. And I even think I snapped at my kids, just buckle up. We're going to sit here, and I'm going to eat my ice cream with a spoon before we go, okay? And I'm eating it. And then I said, Faith, is this all it takes to ruin your day? I mean, give that girl a drippy ice cream cone, and there is no going back. I mean, she's mad at her kids. She's going to be honking at people on the highway. It is over because she got a drippy ice cream cone. And I said this out loud to myself. I said, get a grip. It is an ice cream cone, and you will eat it for 5 minutes, and then you will get on the road. And that little talking to sparked this, that how much does it take for me to completely lose my good spirit? How much does it take to lose control and ruin my day? Does it just take a drippy ice cream cone? Have you ever had a drippy ice cream day? We all have, haven't we? The best kind of stories start like this. We were all dressed and ready to go to church when... I mean, I remember my son, we're all dressed and ready to go to church, and he opens up his sippy cup, his safety cup, that no-spill cup, and just dumps it on himself. Son. Now, we didn't have time to iron a new shirt. He went to church in a wrinkled shirt. But we went to church, and we went to Sunday school, because a shirt is not going to stop us from being in the house of God, right? But for a lot of people, that would stop them. One little thing, well, I guess we can't go to Sunday school. Guess we're all staying home today. Because it's a drippy ice cream day. I teach teen girls Sunday school class. I've taught them for 12 years. It's the highlight of my week. I love my teen girls. And one Saturday night, I had stayed up late. I made chocolate chip cookies with Reese's chips. I mean, they were good, right? And I can make cookies, especially if they come out of a package. I can cook those cookies. And I had made this big old platter of cookies, and I walked out to the van that morning, and I set them on the top of the car, and I buckled in my babies, and we got on, we were going to church, and we were driving down Cherry Avenue, and my cookies were flying down Cherry Avenue, and they were all over the road. And I just thought, it's one of those days. And what did I do? Well, I went to my Sunday school class, and I had a very funny story to tell them. No cookies, but funny story. And I remade them the next Saturday. That's a drippy ice cream day. But what are you going to do about it? My grandparents lived in Louisiana until my papa passed away this year. And that's where I was born. And so I would go back to Louisiana to visit. And a few years ago, I brought two of my children to see their grandparents. My daughter Zoe was 9 months. My son Titus was 3. And it was me, us two on the airplane going to Louisiana. We had a wonderful trip. Well, the day we were supposed to come back, my little baby, 9 months, she was throwing up. All morning long, she was throwing up. And I thought, okay, we've got a long trip ahead of us. We've got to do this. And I can't even blame it on being a first-time mom. I can't, because I had two children. But I did not pack an extra pair of clothes with my daughter. Now, why would I do that? So we get on just a little puddle hopper flight to Houston and then a big long one to California. We're on just the little puddle hopper one when my daughter has, she didn't vomit. It was the other way. And I just felt warmth on my lap, you know? And I felt my skirt and I mean, pile on her and on me. I said, we'll be right back, son. And so I carried her to the restroom with a diaper and wipes, no clothes. I took off her cute little dress and just threw it in the trash can. There was no saving it. I wasn't going to carry that for the rest of the day, right? Washed her up. She went in cute. She came out in a diaper and a bow. And I washed myself as much as I could, but can you get it out of a jean skirt? I don't know. Come back. I put my son's jacket on her, so she had this long jacket dress, you know? And I just was laughing, thinking, this was supposed to be the easy flight. We have a layover, and then we have a five-hour flight. So we had our layover. Everything was great. We get on our five-hour flight. It's at nighttime. She falls asleep. Everything's going smoothly. When again, I felt warmth. Just warmth. And this time, it was vomit going down my leg and into my shoe. I felt like a human chamber pot, you know? Who am I? Am I even human any longer? And then a little while later, I felt more warmth, and it was another pile on my lap. And I got up, and it was kind of stormy outside, and I'm standing in line holding her. And people next to me, while I'm in line for the restroom, are scooting over. Because I know we stunk. I felt like saying, I know we stink, I know! And I'm in line for the restroom, and the door opens, and the flight attendant said, excuse me, ma'am, you need to go sit down. And I said, and I'm sorry, too. And I walked in the restroom and closed the door. It's an emergency. Cleaned her up the best we could. We got into LAX at midnight, taxi cabs. I mean, it was crazy. My husband is going to pick us up on the curb. So I have my son, two suitcases, two car seats, baby in stroller, and we're just going out to the curb like this, you know, very slowly with all of our stuff. Then he texts me, can you come down a little further? I'm parked further on. Sure. So we just scoot over there all the way in. And we get in, and he said, oh, honey, I'm so glad you're back. And then he puts down the windows, and he said, I'm sorry, babe, but you stink. I know I stink! What was that? It was a drippy ice cream day. And in those moments, you really have two choices. You can cry, and you can take it out on everybody, or you can laugh and control your spirit. We all have this. We may have more than one a day, and it's just one of those days, right? You know what I think the days with the most pressure are? Christmas, birthdays, and vacations. Does it seem like that? And I don't know if it's because they come rarely, or we spend so much money on them, or our expectations are so high that everything has to go right, right? Or Christmas is just ruined. And it seems like the smallest thing can just explode on Christmas because we think, yeah, we just get along, it's Christmas. And that's just how we feel, right? I wonder how many vacations have been ruined because one thing got away from us and we couldn't recover it. How many Christmases ended with people just in their rooms crying because we could not recover the situation? What does it mean to control your spirit? What does it mean? To control your spirit means you're deciding that whatever's going on around you will not control your spirit. That's what it means. Whatever's going on around me does not get to control it for me, does not get to decide if I'm having a good day or not. Stuff like traffic. Do you have traffic in North Carolina? You do? I think we hit some yesterday, yeah. Stuff like, there's three letters. I'll spell it. P-M-S. Is that how you spell it? I think so. Stuff like that, stuff that's going on around us, will that control our spirit? Stuff like politics, stuff like bills, stuff like P-M-S, things like that, weather. Well, the sky is gray, so I am gray. No, Eeyore, you shouldn't be. So stuff around us, that's not going to control my spirit. How about this one? Deciding that though others are living in the flesh and treating me wrong, they are not going to control my spirit for me. Have you ever gotten text messages that just made you cry? Maybe someone was rude. They didn't include enough smiley emojis in their text. You know, and it just came off like, why would they say that to me? Maybe you've heard of gossip going on around you. Maybe you got a dirty look and what did she mean by that look? Maybe she had gas, we don't know. Maybe others are complaining around us. Those kind of things. They don't get to decide my spirit for me. Just because they're having a rotten day doesn't mean I'm going to catch it. How about this one? Deciding, controlling your spirit means deciding to take a drippy ice cream day and turn it around. That's really the bottom line. Taking one of these days and turning it around is controlling your spirit. We have a lot of family traditions that I enjoy in our home. One of them is that around Christmas time, we go to a street that's really decorated with Christmas lights, and we walk those streets. Now, in California, in December, it could be 75, right? So it's warm enough to do that. So we'll walk the streets, we'll get Starbucks, and we'll just have a wonderful time. Sometimes we'll have a scavenger hunt. Who can find Mrs. Claus? Who can find the Grinch? All these different things. And it's a tradition I look forward to every year. But because I look so forward to it, I have high expectations, right? It needs to go right, or the whole Christmas season is ruined, in my mind. So we went out a couple years ago, and we had gotten our Starbucks, and it was really windy and dark that night, and things were kind of going rough, but no, we're going to have a good day. So I put on my son's jacket. He was probably 5, and I was in a hurry. I had a schedule. We were going to go conquer these Christmas lights, you know? And so I zip up his jacket real quick, and I also zip up his neck. Right now, that's really funny to me. But back then, it was not. And when I zipped up his neck, he snapped at me, and I snapped back. You know, because you yell at me, I'm going to yell back at you. And then I just thought, this whole evening's ruined. He's crying, I'm crying. And I thought, let's just get back in the car and go home. You can't recover from something so big, right? Sometimes it feels like that. Something small happens and it just feels so big. And I just walked away. And my husband came over and he made sure my son was okay and comes over and he said, okay, Faith. And I said, help me recover this. Help me fix this. I want this to go well. So I came back over and I apologized to my son. I said, we're going to have a good time. We're going to refocus. We're going to regroup. And you know what I felt? I felt victory. Because I know a year before that, I couldn't have turned the situation around. It really would have been ruined. But after that, I thought, we can do this. We can take a drippy ice cream day and turn it around and fix that situation. Every single day of our lives, we must work at controlling our spirit. We don't get a day off in the spirit controlling business. It may be easy on Sunday in God's house, but we must do it on Monday in our house. It's easy at church to have a good attitude. Some people still don't manage it, but I think it's easy on Sundays to have a good attitude. It's true. It's true. You know people. It's an exciting day in the house of God, and as soon as they walk in, the first comment is, sure is cold in here. Don't they ever turn on the heat? Well, good morning. Happy Lord's Day. You know those cities in the Bible with the walls around them? Can you imagine just how crazy it would be to take all the time to build a wall and then just to leave the gate open? I think we'll just leave the gate open, get a nice breeze in here tonight in Bethlehem. Now, they don't do that, right? Certainly not in Long Beach, you don't leave the gate open, right? You don't leave your doors unlocked. Do you lock your doors in North Carolina? Okay, thank you. Thank you. All right. We certainly lock our doors in Long Beach, tell you what. But we don't, a lot of times we're not prepared for hard days, and we're not prepared to control our spirit. But it must be every single day. We can't have a day where we just leave the door of our spirit open. When you're sick, you still have to control your spirit. When the kids are cranky, when it's hot and humid, I know you have humidity out here. When you're in a rush, does it seem like you snap at people when you're in a rush? I know I do. But we can't take those days out on others. I was feeling cranky one day, just one of those days in my entire life when I was feeling cranky, you know? I was feeling cranky, and I was kind of looking for an argument kind of day. And I remember telling my husband, I said, Well, it's PMS time, so I don't have to control my spirit. I can just say whatever I want, and it doesn't count. And I was teasing. And he said, oh, is that what you teach in your teen Sunday school class? And I just don't back down. And I said, yes, that's what I teach. At 14 days out of the month, you can just say whatever you want to. And of course, that's not true. But don't we act that way sometimes? Well, it's just one of those days I can say what I want. We don't get that. We don't get that luxury. I'll tell you this. We don't have any relatives that live near us. So sometimes we don't get a date night as much as we probably need to, right? So on Thursday nights, we had started a tradition that on Thursday nights, we would have an at-home date. Eli and I would have an at-home date, put the kids to bed on time, we'd have a special dessert. And so one night we had like twinkle lights all around the living room, pillows and blankets on the floor, we had games, and it was a special date. And so the next week, we were gonna do the same thing. He knew that, and I knew that. I had bought little individual slices of pecan pie, and they were there, and they were all ready. Well, he had been working all day, knew we were gonna have a date tonight, but I was looking forward to it even more. I had been home with the kids all day. I was like, they're going to bed at 8 sharp, and we're having a date night, and we're gonna enjoy the evening. So I had been looking forward to it. So I put the kids to bed, and I said, okay, honey, I'll be right back. And I came back out in the living room, and I was expecting, my expectations were that the whole living room would be all set up just like last week, right? And he would be ready for the date. What was he doing? No, he wasn't sleeping. He was watching sports. Was that your second guess? Yes, there we go. Sitting on the couch, and he was watching sports. Well, I thought, that's fine. Let the man have his sports. I'm sure as soon as this is done, he's ready for date night. Well, as soon as that sports game ended, he started the next one. And I'm sitting on the couch getting a little miffed, right? And I was thinking, I've been looking forward to this all day. Is he not looking forward to this? Is this the way we're gonna spend our evening watching ESPN, the four letters I hate? And I was sitting there. Now, could I have reminded him? Yes. Was I going to? Because if he cared, he would have remembered, right? And that's when I realized he forgot. He forgot date night. And that proves he doesn't care. The way our minds work sometimes, right? And I'm sitting there just stewing and thinking, I'm gonna wait until it is so late and we can no longer have it. And then when he brings it up, I'm gonna say, well, it's too late now. And I was ready. I was just sitting there stewing. I never said one word. I was sitting there stewing and stewing. Probably an hour went by. That's a long time. And so he turns off the TV and he looks at me. He's like, babe, aren't we gonna have date night? Now, Miss Kim, I could have said, yes, we are. Let's go ahead. But did I say that? No. You already know me. Look at you. I said, well, we were. Yes, I probably shook my head just like that. And I mean, I was crying, and he is sitting there thinking, what just happened? What even just happened? Oh, I just went at him, right? And finally, that poor man, he said, I just wish we could just start the evening over again. And that's when it hit me. What are you doing? You have the sweetheart of a man sitting here, completely oblivious as to what he just did to hurt me so deeply. And I said, we are going to start this evening over again. Give me a moment, and we are going to start this evening over again. And I went to the restroom, I got myself under control, and when I came out, what do you think he was doing? No, he wasn't watching sports. Oh, he had a video of a fireplace on the TV, because we don't have a fireplace, it's too warm. He had lights set up, he had candles on, he had pillows. He was ready for date night. That man was ready for date night. And I came out and I said, honey, you remember date night? And he looked at me like I was bonkers, right? And I said, no, we're starting over again. And I did not mention it. I acted like this was a fresh start. Now, I will tell you, I was kind of shaky inside because I thought, did I really just flip the situation around? Because do you know how many evenings I had ruined? A lot of evenings, by not controlling my spirit. Do you know how many special times I had with the kids that I ruined because I couldn't control my spirit? So many. And when you finally have victory over that, just one time you think, I can do this. The Lord can help me control my spirit. You can. And you're able to enjoy so many more special evenings because of it. It needs to hit us that the drippy ice cream days are the days where we are being tested the most. These are the ones that I feel like count the most. These are the days that tell us where we are spiritually, and they show us where we need to improve. Anybody can have a good spirit when everything is going smoothly. It's these days that test you. Job said, when he hath tried me, tested me, I shall come forth as gold. When you have a drippy ice cream day, how will you come forth? Will you flip it around and make it good? Will you laugh through it? Will you say, well, this is a story I'm going to tell others. This is great. Is it going to be one of those things? Let me tell you, where I am right now, I am very good at messing up and then turning it around. One day, I will be good at not messing up as much, but I am not there yet. This is where I am, where I can take a situation and learn how to flip it around. Let me give you how to handle drippy ice cream days in three quick little points. How do you handle these drippy ice cream days? You may have something happen on your way home today. Something may happen tonight. Something may happen tomorrow morning getting ready for church. How do you handle those things? Number one, humility. With humility, when you mess up, fess up and make it right. Make it right to God and to the people that you just took it out on. I can't tell you how many times I have apologized to my little children because mommy was being cranky. Humility, though, it does take humility. If you mess up, you have to fess up. You did it. Get it right. Number two, how to handle drippy ice cream days again and again. You handle them again and again. You get back up. You have a rough morning, you make it a good afternoon. You don't just let the dog run wild. Don't just let your spirit run out of control. You handle it again and again. And you may have days full of this that you have to keep turning around and keep turning around. But you handle them again and again. And lastly, how do you handle drippy ice cream days? With perspective. Perspective. It's only ice cream. I'm not talking about major trials here. Sometimes people go through major trials with such grace, but we can't handle this. It's only ice cream. You take a step back and you say, is this, whatever your this is this all it takes to ruin my spirit? And you look at it with perspective. It's only cookies. It's only a dirty shirt. It's only a whole pile of poop on your lap. That's all it is. And you look at it with perspective. Am I really going to let this control my spirit? Let me ask you, what do your days normally look like? Does your spirit run wild down the street like an out-of-control dog? One little thing and you're off and running? What does it take to ruin your day? What does it take? Let's start living our Christian lives spirit-controlled. Taking something and turning around. Controlling our spirit. No one else around me can control it. No situations happening around me will control it. I will control my spirit. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for how practical your book is. I thank you for these ladies that through so many obstacles, they came and they made spiritual growth a priority in their life. I pray that we will leave today with something that we're going to grab a hold on. With heads bowed and eyes closed, who will say, Faith, I am going to work harder at controlling my spirit. That's my decision. You raise your hand. I'm going to work harder at controlling my spirit. All right. Lord, you saw the hands raised. You saw the hearts that are willing. It's going to be hard. They're not always going to keep this decision. But I pray that we will work hard at growing spiritually, learning to take drippy ice cream days and turn them around. I know that's how we will please you more. Help us the rest of the day. In Jesus' name.